What if Alex Golish has the best first-year setup for any coach in Auburn football history?
Wow.
How about that? Right out of the gate.
I'm listening.
When you start comparing first-year setups, first-year schedules, first-year rosters, all of it, first-year, I don't know if momentum's a thing for a first year, but I don't know. Terry Bowden had a good one. Tommy Tuberville, not so much. Gene Chizik was fine offensively. Let's go in reverse order. Let's go most recent. Okay. Hugh Freeze.
Awful situation that he took over.
Really bad. Really bad. And people were freaking out about stuff year one, that it's really easy to look back after year three and go, see, we told you. But that whitewash is legitimately a bad situation coming in.
Correct.
And his first quarterback was Peyton Thorne.
Yes, that happened.
Okay. Brian Harsin's situation. Not a bad situation.
No, it was decent. I mean, he had a really good quarterback. No, he had solid pieces. He had a solid defense. I think Brian Harsin was put in a really good situation.
And he had Bo Nix.
Yeah, really good quarterback. Right.
He had Bo Nix. He had Tank Bigsby. He had some offensive line pieces. He had a good defensive line, built young, but pieces there.
Mm-hmm.
And a good secondary. He had better pieces than what the record indicated.
Well, and look, I mean, going into A&M that year, we were having discussions if Auburn finds a way to win that. You know, Auburn's a top 10 team.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he just couldn't do anything with the talent. And then Bo Nix got hurt against Mississippi State in that incredible collapse.
Yeah.
But yeah, that team should have won more than it did, honestly. If that team is coached a little bit differently and stays healthy,
I think that's even the bigger key.
Yeah.
If Bo Nix is healthy down the stretch, do they beat either South Carolina or Alabama in November? I've got to think
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Mississippi State. Yeah, for sure. And then once he lost Gus's players, he couldn't get his own players in, and then everything fell apart.
All right, so the situation Gus was in, they were coming off a losing season. A lot of offensive pieces were still there, but like, did they have a losing? Why was there a losing season in 12? Was it talent? Was it roster? Or was it a total change in philosophy, both offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so this is the 2013 season, right? Yeah, so that's when you couldn't leave. And so they had all these really, like, solid recruiting classes that were doing things that they weren't recruited to do the year prior with that weird shift that Chizik did. So I would say Gus was in a pretty good spot, too. And a lot of that had to do with this is pre-portal. So guys were kind of, I don't say stuck here, but they couldn't leave.
And everybody was high on Nick Marshall, but he wasn't proven at the SEC. I mean, we thought he had potential, but we didn't know he was going to turn into like Auburn Nick Marshall. There was no way to know that.
Right. But there were ways to look at, you know, top 10 classes, multiple top 10 classes being on the roster. But
yeah.
I don't know. That was a pretty good situation, too, now I'm looking back on it.
But he didn't inherit Nick Marshall. He went out and got Nick Marshall.
But he inherited everything else.
Sure. Yeah. Greg Robinson, he inherited. Trey Mason, he inherited.
Who's the best defensive player on that team? Was that a D-Ford team? Was D-Ford on that defense?
Yeah, D-Ford was there. Nosa Egwai was there still. I think he's underrated as far as Auburn defensive linemen go.
I think that's a great take.
started as a true freshman on the national championship.
So now what I'm thinking about is, like, as far as good situations go.
Yeah.
Well, Brian Harsh and Gus Malzahn both had, I think, good situations year one.
It's interesting because, like, Freeze probably performed about where his situation was for year one. Harsin underachieved relative to what he was left. And Malzahn overachieved relative to what he was left, but he was left something really good. How about, can we go as far back as Gene Chizik and talk about what he inherited? Good defense, young offense with questions. So again, they went away from the Al Borges system. Tried the Tony Franklin, hurry up, no huddle, quick pace, short pass game. Didn't work. Now you got co-offensive coordinators the back half of 08, and you have this schizophrenic offense. There is no identity offensively in 09. But defense, that's pretty solid. Good secondary, good line. Linebackers are good. Josh Bynes was on that team when Chizik took over. So, outstanding defense. Just had to find your identity offensively.
Mm-hmm.
In Gus.
Yeah. Had a decent quarterback, right? That was
Chris Todd,
right?
Chris and Cody, yeah.
And Cody, right. Yeah, I would put that situation worse than Harsin and Gus.
Because of the offensive lack of offensive identity? Roster talent,
and then just like, you know, who's your star? And I'm thinking like, okay, you know, that team won a national championship the following year, and there were a lot of pieces there, but Cam wasn't there yet.
Right.
Fairley wasn't there yet either, correct?
Fairley's first year was 09. Yeah, he was there in 09.
Okay, he was there.
He wasn't there in 08, so he didn't necessarily inherit Nick Fairley.
Okay, right. Right. Yeah, I would say that situation is not as good as the other two.
Okay, all right. And then as far back
acknowledge feels a little ridiculous because they won a national championship the following year.
Yeah. But if you can't
count Cam and Fairley, then like it's a different team.
Right. Yeah. No. And all those pieces were important. But again, at the time, they were just young pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after 08, all those senior offensive linemen, Lee Zimba, Ryan Pugh, and the rest of those guys, they were coming off their sophomore years.
Right.
So, and Chris Todd was coming off of his first year with the program. And the whole key there was Gus, was bringing in Gus Malzahn to run the offense.
Right.
Okay. Chris Todd set the school record for passing touchdowns.
So
as a part of that offense.
When Chris Todd was at Auburn, I was still in high school. And so obviously I was living with my parents still. And anytime Chris Todd did anything that was remotely good, pass for a first down, scramble for a few yards, whatever, we would all scream CT4H, which was, of course, Chris Todd for Heisman.
So. Sure. CT4H.
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 So anytime I hear Chris Todd in the back of my, like, subconsciously, I'm yelling CT4H in my head. So
if Chris Todd came out with an energy drink, we're talking about micro influencers yesterday. If Chris Todd came up with an energy drink, do you think that's what it'd be called?
CT4H? I think it'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I have a new energy drink I want to promo.
What?
Do you mind?
No, I don't mind.
It's called Agape Energy. Found this guy on Instagram probably 6 months ago, and he was asking people to like pre-order so I think he could have some money to like build the company.
Sure.
Or whatever. Got it yesterday. There are three flavors: Blessed Berry, Preaching Peach, Mighty Mango. But it's a Christian energy drink company. There's different scriptures on the side of each one, which I think is super cool. So, recommend. I had the mango one yesterday, Mighty Mango yesterday. It was very good. It's my first time trying Blessed Grape,
okay,
which is actually purple. It's not grape, right?
Sure.
We're assuming. Let's see. Hold on.
Well, you know, look, you turn water into wine. How about you take grapes and turn them into energy drink?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
Well, grape-flavored stuff usually hits. That's good. And this is a raw first reaction here.
It's my first time having this flavor.
That was open.
Yeah, strongly recommend.
Okay.
Strongly recommend.
All right. So you got the armor of God and the shield of caffeine. So
I like that. I like that.
Just start your day with the armor of God and the shield of caffeine. That's good.
That's right.
I like it. I went grape too today. I didn't. I'm going with the Heathen brand, but we're both on grape, so that's good.
Yeah. That's fine.
All right. Let's go back one more and talk about Tommy Tuberville and what he inherited. So that 98 team, you got all of Terry Bowden's players at this point. And I know like some of the younger folks in the audience may not have followed at the time. So, you know, Terry Bowden comes to the end of his tenure. You're coming off a really bad 98 season, a 98 year where you lost four centers. You're on your fifth string center by the end of the year, but not just that. Like the running game had kind of gone away and you just didn't have the push up front anymore. Tommy Tuberville comes in. He's got Ben Leard as his starting quarterback. He's got a pretty good offensive line. He's got a young defensive line. He takes back the state of Alabama in recruiting. They had a sub 500 first year, but because Leard got hurt, they were picking up momentum and they had routed LSU the week before Ole Miss when Ben got hurt. I would contend that if Ben doesn't get hurt, they might win eight games that year. I think they get seven, maybe eight. So, all of that to kind of now push back to the present. This situation for Alex Golish, so much is predicated on the quarterback. And he's got his quarterback. He's got his system. He's got so many of those players offensively.
But Brad, if we're using the same terms for how we talked about these other coaches, he did not have his quarterback. He did not inherit a quarterback.
No, that's true. He didn't inherit.
Now, this situation's so unique. It's almost like you got, like when you hired Golish, you got these guys to come with them. We're like, I almost want to give it to you, but I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to give it to him.
All right. Okay. It is a very different conversation, though, isn't it?
It's part of your argument. Yeah.
Yeah. That it's the landscape is so different that first years, you can be better equipped in a first year than you could have been 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can bring your guys.
Yeah, right.
And you can argue that even with the losses defensively, what you have returning defensively is pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if any of those other head coaches kept a defensive coordinator. I don't think the D coordinator stayed. Am I missing anything? No. Freeze had a new coordinator. Harsin had a new D coordinator.
Right.
Gus had a new D coordinator. Chizik. Tubbs. Everybody had a new defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so rare that the defensive coordinator stays. I think the footing is a lot more solid for Alex Golish than it was for some of these other first-year Auburn coaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's definitely infrastructure that is there now, and some of that has to do with just the nature of front offices and how college football has changed. But I would say, like, with the landscape around Auburn and, like, you know, what's happening in Tuscaloosa and what's happening in Athens and what's happening in Oxford and what's happening in LSU. Oh, and by the way, you play all of those teams this year. Yeah. I would argue that the job is tougher now than it ever has been. And I would say that that makes it a worse situation for him as his first year here. So I would say, Gus and Harsin both had a better situation that they inherited. That is my, after we talk this through, that's where I'm sitting right now.
Okay. I don't know how much I put, all right, LSU, I understand the hype there. Not only has Kiffin done it at Ole Miss and Florida Atlantic, but he brought in top portal pieces. I think they should have very high expectations there. Georgia, yes. Alabama's interesting. They're over under Their projected win total is the lowest going into this year than it's been any year since probably 2008. And I still think there are a lot of questions there as DeBoer goes into year three. And Ole Miss, I think there are a ton of questions. They're spending to go out and add big name pieces. They did that in the portal in January. But, you know, without the guy there, without Kiffin, the guy who kind of made it go, especially offensively, is it the same or is it an attempt to be the same when it's not really the same?
Yeah, I mean, they brought everyone back. So, you know, it's at least an attempt to be the same. We'll see how different it is. They brought back a coach that was under Kiffin that left to go to East Carolina, I think. Yeah. So definitely trying to do the same thing. We'll see if they can pull it off. But I do think the job is harder now than it ever has been. And so I think that has to be a part of the conversation.
That's fair. The league is tougher. To win the league is tougher, too, because you have to beat 13 other teams for a shot at the SEC championship game, whereas previously you needed to beat six other teams. So it's tougher in general to win an SEC title, to be a top two or three team in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, what do you think? Let us know in the comments. Is the footing that Alex Golish has this year better, same, worse? Where does it rank among some of these other first-year Auburn coaches? And what in the conversation did we miss? Be curious to get your take on that. You don't want to miss anything when it comes to your retirement, Zach, and that's why you need a professional with years of experience, all kind of knowledge. He is on the cutting edge of wealth management and your financial plan. And, of course, we're talking about Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management. And right now, you can book your appointment with Ford on his calendar. If you go to Calendly.com/Ford Stokes, you look directly at his calendar and book the time that works for you. He'll sit down with you. He'll make sure retirement is set. And listen, you don't want to lose any sleep over that. You want to know you and your family are in a good position for when retirement rolls around. So call our guy Ford Stokes at Active Wealth Management, and he'll get you squared away.
So a listener reached out and they wanted to meet with Ford, and they asked if I could be there to like introduce them essentially. And so I hopped on that call with them and talked about how great Ford was, you know, a little bit I knew about the listener. Then I hopped off and it sounded like it went great after that. So if that's part of it, if you would feel more comfortable with that, let us know. We'd be happy to do that for you. That was great.
That's true. That's true. That's good. And that's the kind, like, that's also like, it's not just a transactional thing. You don't want your money just to be transactional. And forward
right
that way.
Right. And look, like, if you're trusting somebody that we're talking about and endorsing with your money, like, we care about all of you watching. Like, that's a big deal. And so,
yep.
I don't mind being a part of that and putting my name on it. Like, this is a good decision for you and your family. It's been a great decision for mine.
Another good decision by Stephen Pearl to bring in a guard, a transfer from Vanderbilt. You have like the Sebastian Williams Adams for George Kimball trade. This continues to be a busy week. I'm sure something else will happen right around the time we post today's show.
Correct.
That's the way it's gone the last couple of days. Like, these guys work late morning.
Yeah, people keep asking, when are you going to do a show on this? And I'm like, it's dated. Like, I'll do it at the end. it's just so dated. It's all happening so quick. So, which is good. You know, things needed to happen, and we're rolling, which is good. I like this addition a ton. I didn't have this on the bingo card, honestly. Yeah. The scoring threat of what he's able to do, I didn't think that they were looking for that. And I think the way they found it and the value that they found, yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Do you want a guy who's willing to play to back up the one and the two?
Like, it's exactly what they needed.
It is, isn't it? It's exactly. But not a guy who's wasted minutes when he's in. He averaged 18 points a game when he wasn't hurt 2 years ago.
That's insane to me. Yeah. They got a guy to come off the bench that averaged 18 points a game. And it's so nice. I mean, I think as you and I talking about it, might have been yesterday, Brad, where, all right, you know, Tahad's probably going to play 32 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. Overton's probably going to play 32 minutes a game, but you don't want them both off the floor at the same time. So, right. You know, could you go out and find a guy who could play those 8 minutes for Tahad and also play those 8 minutes for Overton? I think they did. Yes. I think they nailed this.
That's right. And like, and now going into next year too, like Blake Mychalek doesn't have to be that guy both times. Now, if you need Blake in a pinch, if you need Blake to play, you know, sometimes could you see Kimball and Mychalek on the floor and have Overton and Pettiford off at the same time because of foul trouble, whatever.
I hope not. Fine. Well, that never happens.
I hope not.
We will lose if that happens.
Well, but you got a safety net if you need it for
I'll
a
turn
rotation.
The TV off if that happens.
No, you won't either. If you need
don't want to see that.
A rotation, Zach, of 4 minutes, you could do it.
Be the longest 4 minutes of my life.
Stop it. I do like the addition. They're going to continue to add. They're not finished yet. And so just kind of keep watch because that's it's been a busy week.
Right.
There we go.
You look great today.
Hey, thanks. So
how
do you.
How are you feeling?
I feel fantastic. Got the, can I tell you one of the reasons why I'm feeling pretty fantastic?
Please.
The Michael Jackson movie opens tomorrow.
And in some places, are you going to be able to go see it with the busy baseball weekend?
Not tomorrow night, but Saturday. Yeah, because we don't play till Saturday night.
Michael Jackson's like among your favorites, right?
If by among you mean at the top of the list, yeah.
Favorite musician ever is Michael Jackson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Been awesome. Looking forward to
this. I'm curious to see what you think about the movie then, because mm-hmm. they've done, you know, a few of these and I've heard mixed reactions from the folks who, like I watched the Elvis one.
Yep.
With someone who loved Elvis, and I don't think they really liked it.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of people that did like it. And then what was the other one?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. That was outstanding.
That was pretty well done, I think. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it was really.
I agree.
And I'm not a big Queen fan. I don't know. Like, I know everybody knows some of their songs.
Right.
I don't know a lot of the catalog, but everybody knows some of them. I thought it was really well done for somebody who didn't really know a ton about them before. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
And so, I'm looking forward to it. So if you see me dancing at the ballpark this weekend, you'll know why.
I'm excited. Friday night. Going. Yes. Thank you for the tickets. Mm-hmm. Got a babysitter. It'll be the first time my wife and I going to a sporting event, just us, in a long time. So very excited about that.
I'm not going to make a comment about how it's your first night with a babysitter, so it's just the two of you and you're coming to a baseball game. I mean, I think that just says a lot about the baseball program and where Auburn baseball is right now.
Yeah, right.
You're like, listen, just the two of us, honey, you and me, babysitter's locked in. Here we go. Let's go to Plainsman Park.
So number six versus number eight, is that right?
Yeah. 8 or 9, yeah.
Okay.
Top 10.
Yeah, I mean, top 10 matchup on a Friday night. What else do you want?
So you go. So what you would say is, you would say your wife is a 10, so you're taking her to see two top 10 teams.
Yeah, I'm totally using that. That's great. Thanks for that.
That's what you would say. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
So I'm trying to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'd love with the assist. Thank you, sir.
Hey, speaking of assists, go to buyauburn.com. It'll assist your business if you're looking for clientele that supports Auburn, like it's Auburn for Auburn, buy Auburn for Auburn, buyauburn.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you get on there and you like it and you like the idea of it, reach out to us individually, directly, and we can get you a deal on all that. So let us know.
It's growing in a hurry. So give it a look. Let us know what you think.
Brad Law, I think that about does it for today's show.
It does, Zach. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Please subscribe if you have not. And remember, until next time, we got the live show tomorrow. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.